2 Kings 5, verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Now Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abanah and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, and he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither a burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Ramon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Ramon, when I bow down myself in the house of Ramon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said to him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Bechazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said, Behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian, and not receive in his hand that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there is come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, 1 talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And Naaman said, Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags and 2 changes of garments and laid them upon him, upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand, bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee, when the man turneth again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maidservants. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and of thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this, your precious word. We thank you today for the privilege to be able to stand here and read this, your word, one with another. We ask today that you might anoint now from above. Speak in our hearts, O God, how we need you to do that once again. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. As I read this tremendous story in the Word of God, this story of a miracle that was almost molested, a miracle that almost did not come to pass, my mind is indeed flooded with many thoughts as I consider that this man Naaman, as he came to be healed through one fault of his, nearly did not find that healing. Though God in His presence had allowed a Jewish girl to become captive and be a slave in His household, though He had allowed that, it was His purpose for her in her life, evidently, because God had placed her there for a reason. By the way, oftentimes we find ourselves in situations that are not necessarily pleasing to us, but God has us there for a purpose. And we find that this little girl comes to the household of Naaman. She'd been taken captive in one of the raids. We find in the Bible there it says that the Syrians had gone out by companies, really an expression that says that they were basically small groups of soldiers who would go out and maraud in other places simply to steal from other people and even to steal people, as we find in this case. They were basically enemies of Israel that God was about to show mercy to. By the way, there's not a character in the Bible, I believe, where God has not, in His special providence, allowed to know that He offered to them the grace of God. God is a gracious God. Amen? Amen. We find here that these enemies of God, these enemies to the land of Israel, had in their household this little girl who told them about God. And thus, through this one little girl, we find this testimony of this one, whom oftentimes we might look and say, well, she's not of great stature. She's not of one who has a tremendous reputation. And yet she was able to simply give them what she knew. Somebody said, well, I don't know how to witness for God. How about telling them what you know? You know, it's pretty hard to tell them what you don't know. And so if you know something about God, if God has saved your soul, you know something that God has done for you. And therefore, you have something to give to somebody else. And she knew there was a man of God who had performed miracles, and she knew that God was well able through him to take care of that. And thus her testimony spoke to these hearts, and we find Naaman coming to them. You know what's interesting to me is oftentimes we think that God can only use us if we get to a certain point of spirituality in our lives. But I'm here to tell you today that God uses us not because of ourselves, but God uses us in spite of ourselves. Don't ever get the idea that, whoa, I have arrived and now I'm so wonderful that now God can use me. And as we look at others, we think, well, they just haven't quite arrived yet and God can't use them. It is God who is the author of His salvation. He is the one who can take and use us. And by the way, God can use us marvelously in spite of who we are. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is there anybody in this room that is perfect? Is there anybody in this room who has met with perfection? How many in this room would say, preacher, I am not perfect yet? Some of you folks are so imperfect, you haven't even heard the question yet. How many would say, I am not perfect yet? You say, I'm never going to be perfect. Then you don't have my God because He's going to do that in my life. Okay? One day I will be perfect. Okay? God wants that in my life now. But we find that God can use us. Has God used you before? Has God used me? Definitely God has done that in lives. And somehow we get the idea, well, I'm just not good enough. That's why it's called grace. Amen. And God can use us in the state that we are in. Now, it is true that if we are a cleaner vessel, God can use us even better. And that ought to be where we are headed in our lives. But God uses us in spite of ourselves. As we look at this story, I find that there are three main characters after we get past this little Jewish girl. We find there is Naaman, we find that there is Elisha, and we find that there is Gehazi. And I'd like for us to stop because I believe each one of them has some significant application for you and for me that we can put into our lives. As we look at Naaman, I think of Naaman and his shame. When I think of the shame of Naaman, I think of two different areas. First of all, we find that Naaman, though he was a tremendous soldier, though he was a man of valor, though he was very close to the king of Syria, we find that it says, but he was a leper. He had this horrible disease of leprosy. Always in the Bible, leprosy is viewed as a type of sin. And so, if leprosy is viewed as a type of sin, all of us in this room are sinners, and therefore we can identify with this man, Naaman. Because you and I, as sinners, you and I having spiritual leprosy, you and I, we can identify with him. It was, and I understand still is, an incurable disease by natural means. That's why the king of Israel was so upset in verse number 7 when he said, he has sent him here in order to have an issue with me because he wants to have a reason to attack and destroy us. Because he knew that leprosy was incurable except by special miracle. Is that not true of our sin? Our sin is incurable by any means that you and I might come up with. There is no man that can take care of our disease. But there is a God in heaven who can heal. We find that leprosy separated them from others as sin separates you and I from God. They were not to have company with others. They were to have their own colony, so to speak, a leper colony. They were to be outside of the city. Remember the four lepers who were outside of the city when they had been attacked, and they were the ones who went and discovered that the marauders had taken off and brought word back to Samaria. We find that these people were separated, and you and I are separated from God. The Bible says, but our iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you, the Bible says. Not only did leprosy have this incurable nature, not only did it separate them from those round about them, but we find also it precluded them, did not allow them to worship in the temple. They were not allowed thus to go and to worship God. We find that it talks about Uzziah being a leper was cut off from the house of the Lord. They didn't have that access. It precluded them. It affected their priesthood. If a priest were to gain or to have this sin or this disease come into his life, he was thus taken out of that until he was cleansed by God. Matter of fact, we find that it even affected their offspring. In verse number 27 of our chapter, we find that it says that Gehazi would not only have leprosy, but it would pass on to future generations within his household. And like sin in our lives, it keeps us from God. It keeps us from this position of worshiping Him because our sin separates us. It keeps us from the spot where we can have this wonderful fellowship with God in priesthood. And I'll tell you what, it affects those round about us. This was Naaman's shame. But I want you to notice one other thing about Naaman that was very shameful in his life. All of us in this room today, we can identify with the leprosy. We can identify because we are sinners. We can identify knowing that we have sinned against an almighty God. But I believe we can also perhaps identify with this. Because in the life of Naaman, we find as he comes to be healed, he comes with a horrible sin of pride. Always in the Bible, we find that pride is that which negates the presence of God. In the book of Isaiah, he says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. It is my God who wants to be with those who have humility in their life. But this man came with a whole different approach. This man came in his pride. He came with a letter from the king. He came with much silver and gold. He came with apparel. He came basically to buy a miracle. He came to Elisha in his grandeur. We find him coming. He has all the armies with him. He comes expecting Elisha to come out and somehow to wave his hand and to strike a miracle out of the heavens in a Hollywood type situation. And we find the man of God recognizes this through the Spirit of God. And he does something very unusual. He sends a messenger. Why, here's this important man who has come to his house. Here is this wonderful fellow who has come down to visit us, and he has come to you, Elisha, that you might come out and strike a miracle over his hand. And Elisha says to his servant, go out and tell him to jump in the river. Go out and take a dip. Matter of fact, why don't you do it 7 times? That's a very humbling situation. And we find that his pride smolders. Notice verse 11, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And he complains, are not the rivers in Syria better than the dirty old Jordan River? And it says in verse number 12, the last part, so he turned and went away in a rage. And so here is this man who has a miracle of healing just right before him. He's come to the man of God, but he's come in his pride. And because of it, we find he leaves in a rage. Oftentimes we find that there are those kinds of folks who even will walk into a church service. And one of the things that people say so often is, that guy up there, he's talking all about my sins. How dare he tell all those people in that congregation about my sins? I stayed up all night last night. I had TV cameras in every one of your houses, and I know exactly what you were doing. That's the Spirit of God working on the life when that happens. And there are two ways that we can react to that. We can react in anger and in rage, and that happens oftentimes. Or we can humble ourselves before God. But many times what takes place is that we need somebody. Thank God for His servants. Thank God for somebody who could see through this situation and offer to Him some advice and tell Him, hey, listen, why don't you just do what He says? I'll tell you what, these servants were wise people. I believe you and I also, as God's people in dealing with others, need to kind of stop and look at these two, or these servants. For they use some wisdom as they come to Him and they say, hey, if He would have asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Oh, yeah. Then why don't you just humble yourself and submit to what He has asked you to do? And it was then that we find the miracle takes place. Do you realize this miracle almost did not take place because of the pride of this man? Do you know that this miracle was almost molested because of pride? Do you understand that you and I, so many times in our lives, we miss out on the blessings of God and the miracles of God simply because of our pride? And our pride needs to be broken. He was given very simple instructions that any child could do. And these common men's servants, they could see the principle and they used great wisdom to finally convince him. And his healing did not come until he was willing to humble himself to the message of God's man. Though the Lord is high, yet hath a respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off. In the book of Matthew it says, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. if we're going to allow God to do something in our lives, if we're going to allow God to save our souls, we've got to humble ourselves before Him and recognize we cannot do it ourselves. By the way, Christian, if you and I are going to see the miracles of God take place in our life, we must humble ourselves before Him that He might be able to work. By the way, remember something. He humbled Himself to the message that God gave through Elisha. The water did not cleanse him. If the water had cleansed him, I say to you that every leper in Israel would have been cleansed. They could have ran to the Jordan and dipped under 7 times. But my Bible specifically tells me that there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Elisha didn't do it. He wasn't even there. He stayed home. He wanted this man to recognize, hey, what is taking place comes from God and the message that God has given to you. It was his intense need, coupled with his final willingness to humble himself and dip himself under, not once, but 7 times. Can you imagine today that you had a sickness and you went to the doctor and the doctor said, why don't you go down to the river and find you a shallow spot and dip under 7 times? The old muddy mo. You'd say, what a ridiculous idea. What a stupid thing to do. And this must have flooded through the mind of Naaman. But when he finally came to realize, hey, why not do what God says to do? And he humbled himself to that. I think of the servant here of Elisha. He is a prime example of one who is willing to serve without recognition. He was willing not to go out and to meet him himself, but to send another. Because he knew it was not about him, it was about God. Oftentimes, we're not willing to do for God unless somebody is watching. Let me ask you a very important question. Do you constantly need someone with you in order to serve? My Bible says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corners of the street, they may be seen of men. The Bible says something very unusual about this. It says they have their reward. But Elisha was willing to serve and to do when there was nobody looking. His humility allowed him complete access to the presence of God. And it gave to him a special discernment. For he could look and to see through the Spirit of God the real need of this man Naaman. But not only of Naaman, we find the perception God gave to him concerning his own servant. Why? Because he was willing to just do what God wanted to do. Here's a man that we look back and we say is a great man. But he was simply willing to do what he was supposed to do. I think of the first time we really see Elisha in action. He's with Elijah. He's found out that Elijah's going to depart. And he's learned from Elijah that if he is with him when he leaves, God's going to give him a double portion of his spirit. And so Elisha just sticks with him. I mean, they went all over the place. And he just sticks with him. What's his first job? Just sticking with him. Just staying there. And when Elisha departs, the mantle of Elisha falls upon Elisha. But Elisha does not lose that kind of heart. He is a servant. But then lastly, I want to look at Gehazi because he is also very representative. He is also one that you and I can gain some thoughts concerning. Here is a man who, like Elisha, had the opportunity to receive the mantle from Elisha. Here could have been, I believe, the next prophet. As Elisha stuck close to Elijah, here was Gehazi now with Elisha. Here was now what could have been a triple threat to the land of Israel. But a man's ministry can be measured by what stops him. What it is that will cause him to quit. And here is a man who is in position to see that there could be some wealth. Understand, there was a reason Elisha would not take Naaman's money. Naaman came in all his pomp and circumstance. Naaman came with pride in his heart. And the grace of God fell upon him when he finally humbled himself before God. But if Elisha would have taken that money from him, if Elisha would have taken those changes of clothing from him, if he would have taken that, he feared that Naaman would not completely understand grace. And Elisha knew that God would take care of him, and that was the way he basically lived, was upon the gifts of God's people that God would bring. But he knew that there was another way God could supply. Gehazi did not have this spiritual insight. He should have learned from his master, but he had a covetous heart and a desire for things. And oftentimes it might be money, it might be fame, it might be power. It might be desire for some title, whatever it might be. There are many who are in line who fail the grace of God. And we find, rather than taking position after him, the leprosy of Naaman comes upon him. But I do want you to see one other thing. Go over a couple of chapters. Chapter 8. Verse 1 says, "Then spake Elisha to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years in that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with who? What did he have? What would he never be healed of? What would go upon him and all of his generations after? Leprosy. And yet, who is he talking to? Our God's the God of the second chance. He never became what I believe he could have become. You read the commentaries and you'll find that so many of the fellows who comment on this, they say, well, this had to have happened before he had his leprosy. That's not the order in my Bible, by the way. Some will say, well, he could not have been very close to the king and he probably talked to him through the gate. Have no idea, doesn't say. And all that does not matter, for what does matter is this. Gehazi, though God had brought judgment to his life, though the man of God that God used to bring that, notice what happens. It says, the servant of the man of God saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the things that Elisha hath done. It came to pass as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman and this is her son. whom Elisha restored to life. In spite of the judgment of God upon him, he still had opportunity to speak of the God who brought it. Is that grace? He recognized that what came upon him, he deserved. I cannot prove it. I personally suspect that he later humbled himself and God healed him. I cannot prove that. It's my own speculation. Don't take that as gospel. But it is possible. But whatever the circumstances, he speaks with the king and he speaks of God who did those things. He speaks of Elijah, whom he had worked with. Thank God he gives us a second chance. What do I see in this chapter? God's grace from beginning to end. God's grace in Naaman, God's grace in Elisha, and God's grace in Gehazi. Can I identify with these? Definitely. If I'm allowing the grace of God to flow to me. Father, today work in our hearts. Lord, no doubt there is application that needs to be made in every life. Lord, no doubt your Holy Spirit of God, you have that which you want in every heart. Lord, there's some here that Naaman is predominant. Oh, there's sin, but there's also this horrible thing of pride. This thing that stops the miracles of God in their lives. Oh, Lord, may they hear your pleadings through your servants to humble themselves, to just to bid to do God's word, to follow His wondrous plan. There may be a lost soul here today that thinks they can do it on their own. Oh, but they might listen to your wonderful plan that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. Lord, no doubt in this room there are those who are servants. But God, we must recognize that sometimes we serve for pride. We serve to be recognized rather than that you might be recognized. And Lord, no doubt there's Gehazi's present, whom for the glitter and the glamour of this world would sell out. For the things of this world are more important. Oh God, today speak in our hearts concerning this. And Lord, we also thank you. For I believe this is probably true. There may be some in this room today that has been their case. But you are the God of second chance. Repentance can bring restoration. God, work in our lives today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Life, where you stand, where you're at, please. As Emily begins to play this morning, God spoke in your heart. Let Him do in your life whatever's needed. The front up here is open and available to you to come and to pray. If you need Christ as your Savior, you're like Naaman. You need that healing in your soul. You need to listen to the man of God. He can't do it. But His God can. And the God I serve, He can save your hell-deserving soul. If you're willing to humble yourself. If you're willing to, how else can I say it? Step out from where you're at and come and say, boy, I need that in my life. If you'll come to me and tell me that, listen, we'll have somebody take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. May God work in your heart and life today.